All right, here we go. Welcome into Spin on Golf right here on 760 WJR. As always, a pleasure talking golf with y'all. And boy, do we have a lineup coming at you. My two usual co-hosts, the esteemed Brian Cairns, the esteemed Jordan Young, are both participating in the Adidas, or if you're from Europe, the Adidas State Pro-Am at Boyne Highlands. Two-day event going on tomorrow and Tuesday. As a matter of fact, Jordan Young joins us via phone from that fine establishment. Jordan, how are you, lad?
Oh, I am doing spectacular. Sitting on the range here, 74 degrees, no wind, and watching a few of our colleagues here hit some balls.
Ideal conditions, no doubt about it. Say hi to Jeff Goebel. He's joining me here at Doyle's at St. John's, and we are watching what is going to be a little bit of drama, go figure, on a Sunday night as we present Spin on Golf, the Charles Schwab Challenge going on at the Memorial in Fort Worth, Texas. We have a playoff. Russell Henley, the former Georgia Dog, he's 12 under. And the 37-year-old, Eric Cole, he is looking for his first PGA Tour win. And Jeff, we were talking about his resume. Couple of second place finishes, but he's been at it a long time.
He's played a lot of golf and not been on a lot of leaderboards, so I think Russell's got the advantage going in here on the playoff.
Well, the way they went about their business getting to this playoff, Russell Henley sunk a 15-16 footer on 18 for a birdie. Now he is looking for his sixth win on the PGA Tour. Eric Cole, by the way, unfortunate on 9, double bogey. Boy, did that bite him. But to his credit,
hung in.
He stayed in the game.
Yep. A lot of guys, I mean, after a 63 on Saturday, which is amazing, and well below, that was like 7 shots below the scoring average on Saturday. It was one of the best rounds of golf of the year. To come back the next day and then make a double and then, you know, keep battling, he's showing some grit.
They are starting on hole 18 in the playoff again at the Charles Schwab Challenge down there in Fort Worth. Interesting side story here. The defending champ of this tournament, Ben Griffin, 3-time winner a year ago. He was 5 under today to get to 11 under. He was in contention in the clubhouse. There has not been a repeat champion at the Memorial in 71 years, the great Ben Hogan. How about that?
Well, there's a reason it's Ben's place.
Indeed. Right? I think he won there 5 times, the great Ben Hogan.
There's only one guy on this show that's was alive when he was alive.
And that's no way to talk about Dave Rieger.
Steve Courtney.
Jordan Young, what do you got to bring Dave Rieger into the conversation for? Listen, but, as this program unfolds, congratulations. You, sir, are a mainstay with Eastern Michigan Golf. And the D1 Women's Championship in La Costa, California recently. The Eastern Michigan Lady Eagles made it to the Final Four before falling to Stanford. What a showing there, huh?
Unbelievable. Obviously, we've got one of our coaches, Josh Brewer, women's head coach, that can take the credit, and he'll be on shortly, but it was pretty spectacular to watch. It was Cinderella story, to say the least, and it was really special to be there and enjoy the moment with them.
Yeah, it turned out to be a hell of a story, and you know, I can ask you, Jordan, we're tight. There's been some hullabaloo, if you will, that a couple of Eastern's players don't go to school there or what have. My question is, based on the way college athletics is set up today, is it that bizarre to have that scenario?
Well, I mean, I can tell you for certain, and so will Josh, that everybody was registered in classes.
Right.
And some were online. But a lot of people don't realize college golf has changed a lot. And, you know, our women's team had a schedule that was designed to play in California for quite a stretch because the national championship was in La Costa. And our Game Above Invitational was in Rolling Hills, California. So combined with having 4 other events out there throughout the season and a couple of spring trips out there, they were there for about 8-plus weeks of the year. So Yeah, I'm sure people can get the idea that that nobody goes to school and they travel all over the place, but they were there for over eight weeks, which was pretty planned.
All right.
If you're on a golf team, I mean, where else would you want to be?
Yeah, probably not in northern Michigan in January.
Yeah.
All right, the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial is in a playoff with Russell Henley and young Eric Cole. Some other scores of note, Ben Griffin, as I mentioned, the defending champ, he made a little bit of a run. He finishes at 11-under. Alex Smalley finishes at 11-under. Mac Meissner, here's a fella, never heard of him. I'm going to be completely honest with you. But he played some good golf this weekend. He finishes at 11-under. What a weekend.
Made a nice check. You know, it's going to pay for a few hotel rooms.
Gary Woodland, always root for him. He was at 10-under, as was your buddy there, Jordan, Nico Echevarria. J.J. Spahn finishes at 10-under par 2. Just couldn't get the flat stick working.
Yeah, it shows you, I think all the time, the players that win are always in the top 20 in putting. And he had one of the best ball striking weeks. He was tied for second tee to green yesterday, gained tee to green, and then still can't win. He's missed, this is for the season, he's missed 6 cuts this year. So
that's crazy.
He's with a win, right? And he's one of the best ball strikers on the planet. So you got to get it in the hole with the putter.
Well, that's the
you can't avoid it.
You got to put a little work in, and I'm sure he does. And we'll see how it plays out as the season moves forward. Do you have your tee time yet for tomorrow? You in BC there, Jordan?
Somewhere after 12 o'clock for me.
You like that?
Yeah.
I know you do, sir. All right, it is Spin on Golf here on 760 WJR as we were discussing. We're going to have a conversation with the Eastern Michigan ladies golf coach, Josh Brewer. He's going to join us up next as we continue here on 760 WJR. All right, my friends, at the D1 Women's Golf Championships in La Casa, California, earlier this week, you had Megha Ghani, Stanford, doing what she does. Just cut to the chase. Stanford wins their third NCAA Women's Golf Championship in the last 5 years. But by golly, there was a wonderful, wonderful sub-story. It involved the Women Eagles of Eastern Michigan making it to the Final Four. What do you say? We have a chat with their second-year head coach, up to good things, Josh Brewer. Coach, how are you?
I am well tonight. How are you guys?
Everything is fantastic. Listen, congratulations, a hell of a run. We've got your good buddy Jordan Young on. He's up at Boyne Highlands doing what he does. So, but take us through what this run meant for your program, Josh.
maybe everything. I'm still scared to go to sleep, truthfully. I know it's been 5-6 days now, but I'm scared to wake up and just think I dreamt it all, because it's just one of those magical journeys as a coach and for these women to perform how they did. But, I mean, the weird thing about the NCAA, 36 hours later, the transfer portal's open, and you're working it. And let's just say I have a lot more people accepting my call than I did 1 year ago.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this there, Josh, because after the run, you know how social media is. You know, there was some folks pointing out that a couple of your players don't go to classes at Eastern, yada, yada, yada. Listen, the landscape of collegiate athletics has changed greatly. I don't think it's that bizarre. And we were talking to Jordan not long before you came on, Coach, that – the business is much different than it used to be. There's online, but suffice to say, every gal that was on your club was properly registered. Yes?
Oh, they were in class. I mean, we work out every Monday, Thursday, Friday. The team probably missed about 14 of those workouts this semester because of traveling. And strangely, we still had 3 people at NCAA finals taking class. I mean, yes, we were fortunate that they can do some of that online, but the twins and Savannah were taking classes while making that magical run. So I laugh at all that. I'm probably not the best at it because I don't tell anyone no when they make up funny things, but we know deep down how many days they spent in Ypsilanti and how many mornings they had to walk across campus to go to workouts when it was cold.
Well, that's the important thing.
I remember
thing.
One particular morning. Well, it wasn't a morning, but it was an afternoon when we made the girls, well, you made the girls play, I think we were down at Calusa Pines, and they played the last six holes in the rain, and there was torrential downpours. I'm like, you know what? This is national championship building right here.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're all out there. I saw the Golf Channel talk about it, and it's really a slight to those women that had to get up each morning, do everything, and their professors who, you know, worked and, you know, made sure they graduated at the same time. But again, we're the new person, so they're going to find any reason to try to knock us back down and put us back in our place.
Josh, well, can you tell us what it's like to get to the national championship? I mean, just to get to postseason and then through regionals. Can you just touch on that?
Yeah, like any NCAA sport, you have two avenues. You either win your conference, which we call AQs, automatic qualifiers, or you have to be top 50 roughly in the country for an at-large bid. So, I mean, unfortunately, we're in a conference where, you know, it has Kent State Women's Golf, which is a top 25 program. They defeated us at the conference championship, so they earned the MAC automatic bid. But our schedule that we were able to build out this year actually had a higher rank than Kent State, and we earned a 4 seed at Florida State. And at each regional, there's 12 schools, and the top 5 schools at each regional get a chance to qualify for nationals. And there we finished exactly what our seed line was. We finished 4th, and then you just move on. And anyone who's been around me will hear me say, I want a Monday tee time at the national championship, because we made it to the top 15. And there's a lot of choking and a lot of bad things happen to most schools on that day. And I've been very fortunate where my schools have actually done a good job during that. And maybe Jordan, it's because I make him play in rain in January at Calusa Pines and not pull up off the course, things get tough.
Well, and the important thing is the important thing, Josh, is for your players that are returning. Now there's chum in the water. Now they've been through this process of competing and making it to the Final Four. That's something that stays with you, and I think inspires the entire program. Correct?
No, it does, and it, you know, it's their summer schedule changes. They get in better tournaments now, and now they're walking around with that logo that people know, and they kind of show up as a small target on their back, but also the confidence that we've done this. We've beaten a lot of you, and we can go play well. And it just builds over the summer, and it'll bleed into the fall season that we have. And, you know, you just got to ride that momentum. And at the same time, you got to understand who you are and how you got there. So you got to continue to work.
Well, job well done, Josh. Thank you so very much for your time. Much appreciated. Let's keep it going, huh?
Well, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of great golf in Michigan. I'm just thankful to be an Eagle for sure.
All right. That is Josh Brewer. Only his second year at the Reign there with the women's program there at Eastern Michigan. Final Four. How about that? Meanwhile, we go out to the Charles Schwab Challenge there at the Fort Worth, Texas venue. And we've got a winner. Russell Henley, first playoff hole, Jeff. He sunk that 7-footer.
We could have used some of that at Ryder Cup, I think. That would have been nice.
You know what's interesting? He's 37. This is his 6th PGA Tour win. Eric Cole, I think it's they showed his second runner-up.
Third runner-up.
Yeah, third runner-up in his career. He's 37. Interesting dynamic. This dude's been chopping for a long time. Not a whole lot to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, to stick it out that long, you know, and keep grinding, it shows a lot of grit. You know, like I said earlier, a lot of guys would have given up by now. 37 years old, you're on the downward slide on the PGA Tour now. You know, it's not like the best golf's ahead of you, but guys can still get it done.
And, you know, I've enjoyed watching. And have you ever played Colonial, Jordan?
I have not played Colonial.
Boy, it
BC's looks... probably played it six times.
Yes. that's the one thing about BC. No, you ask him if you played any given course, and he's, it's okay, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But
overrated.
It's been there a while, obviously, and it looks like it stood the test of time. It looks you want nothing to do with the rough.
Right. Growing up that Bermuda rough down there, small, firm, fast greens, that makes for a tough day. And they, I mean, this whole weekend, you know, the scoring averages were 70-plus.
Right.
You know, today it's probably closer to 73, or I would bet 73, because none of the leaders really did anything special.
Elsewhere.
How about
Jordan.
Alex Smalley. I was just going to say, Alex Smalley's having a really nice season. We've spent some time with his caddy down at Miami there, and, really, really positive season for him already. He's climbing right up that FedEx Cup points list.
Yeah, tie for three at 11 under. Had himself a nice weekend indeed. Again, Jordan, well done with the Eastern Michigan ladies. Nice conversation with Coach Brewer. And usually this brings good things for a program going forward, right?
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. And, thanks for having them on. And it's a great story. Hopefully we can keep it going.
All right. We will share more of the golf details with you, because that's pretty much what we do here, spinning on golf. Going to have our own Kevin Dietz, who you hear on WJR. Monday through Fridays from 9 to noon. He is kicking off the Pure Michigan Golf Tour. We'll get the deets from D. I'm sorry. We've got that coming up as we continue here on 760 WJR.
What's going on?
All right, folks. In 88 days, once again, here at the Cardinal at St. John's, they'll be hosting the LIV Team Championship. I mention that because LIV back in action this weekend in Korea. Joaquin Niemann won his LIV Best 8th title, beating Taylor Gooch in the first playoff hole, and he won $4 million. Now, Jeff, I don't know if he collects that. They might be working some things out, moving some things around.
Yeah, got to move a couple items.
Yeah, and the honest to goodness truth, LIV is certainly not on solid footing. We know they're supposed to have financing through the end of the year, but there's been some discussion about that as well.
Well, when they're, bypassing their streaming service and giving refunds for that, it costs more money to do the next.
That's not a good sign.
Not great. Not looking good.
Could be the writing on the wall. Meanwhile, LPGA, I'll bring you up to date on that. ShopRite LPGA Classic. Your winner from France, Celine Boutier, comes in at 9-under. Up next from Thailand, Arpachaya Yubel at 8-under. So we are discussing what's going on in this amazing radio station. Over the years, I've had the distinct pleasure of participating in a Pure Michigan golf tour or two. At the helm now, my good friend Kevin Dietz. You hear him Monday through Friday from 9 to noon here on the Blowtorch. Kevin, it all gets underway tomorrow, my friend.
It does. We are at the Pines right now, just making the turn. Played 9 holes with the pro up here at the Pines in Mount Pleasant. And it is beautiful up there, man. They have 7 golf courses within 20 minutes of each other up here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of the great secrets. I mean, you talk about getting a bunch of guys together to come up and play. The hotels are less expensive. The golf is less expensive. And the golf is fantastic. This first leg of our tour is going to be really good. So we're playing tonight, and we're going to do the show from here tomorrow. Then we're going to make our way up to Treetops, which I love that course. That's those elevations up in Treetops. Oh, my
which
goodness.
Course are you playing there?
I think I'm playing Signature, which is nice. It's a good course. They're all
beautiful.
Really like the Treetops. Yeah.
Give Mr. Barry Owens my best, would you?
I will. He's going to play with me tomorrow. So that tomorrow afternoon, that'll be a lot of fun. We'll do that. And then we're going over the Highlands after that. Boyne Highlands.
And, another beauty.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not sure which course we're playing there, but boy, I've not been on a bad one. I mean, that is a setup over there. Just absolutely fantastic. Then I make my way over to you guys over there at the Cardinal, which I have not played yet, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it. You really, really are there.
Keep it in
Jeff.
The fairway. Rough is dense. Very dense, healthy.
That is Very good advice. And then we finish up at the Rocket Mortgage there, which so it's a full week of golf. I'm telling you, today this place is busy. It's perfect weather. It's perfect time of year to get out here. It's I had looked it up when I was driving up here. Michigan's golf industry is over $6 billion, and a billion of that is people traveling to Michigan to play. And I think it's just getting bigger and bigger and better and better, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, when you take a look at the raw numbers of our golf business here in the great state of Michigan, it's rather crazy. And I've said this time and time again, you guys, I would put Michigan golf, granted our season is relatively short, but what are you going to do? But I would put just the variety of courses that we have in our amazing state up against any other in the nation, period.
Absolutely. And probably some of the best conditions.
Sure.
Right. I mean, they're just the bent grass greens. There ain't nothing better anywhere.
Keep that in mind, would you, Kev, as you're going through this tour, for crying out loud. But, you know, Kev, I know you love golf. You're one of us. But the thing about the tour, aside from living out of a suitcase, it's a hell of a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun, yes. And I like crisscrossing the state and seeing the different courses and the topography and all of that. It's a great way to spend a week, especially if you're working. So that's work. We're gonna see some really good courses. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We have some good dinners, and we'll report back to you on All Talk from 9 to noon.
Yeah, and then a week from tomorrow, I'll point out, you're going to be participating, as usual, in the Detroit Sports Commission golf outing at Oakland Hills. My colleague Jordan Young is going to be chatting with you out there, as his company, Game Above, is the title sponsor. Way to go, Jordan.
Well done.
Yeah, well, we're back for year two.
That's a course, huh? Oakland
yeah,
Hills?
I didn't get a chance to play last year, but I might play with our good friend that you might know, Michael Dietz, on Sunday afternoon, and do a little preview tour. We'll call it a work tour day before, it should be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a great event. Always.
Obviously, Kev, you've taken in the new clubhouse, and from all reports, it's absolutely beautiful.
My goodness, it is stunning. Yeah, the locker room alone is just incredible. It's a two-story locker room and with all the fabulous things at the clubhouse. But, man, every last detail is just phenomenal. They did such a good job on that. It's remarkable.
All right, Kev, appreciate your time. Get back to your round, my friend, and enjoy the upcoming tour. It's always a riot.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
All right, Kevin Dietz, our very own. Monday through Friday, 9 to noon, here on WJR. All kicks off tomorrow in beautiful Mount Pleasant, the Pure Michigan Golf Tour. There's nothing like it. Need to talk about this with you fellas for a little bit. Jordan, I mentioned this to Jeff earlier before going on. Don Ray out as president of the PGA of America. Nathan Charns is in on an interim basis. Your thoughts on this, if you have any?
I don't have much to say on that. I don't
BC
know much
would.
Of the details. I thought you maybe said Brian Cairns was the intern, president for about 12 hours. But, we'll see what happens.
Well, he was taken to task for his delayed response and some of the statements he made with those morons at the Ryder Cup. And I kind of thought he might have gotten himself into a little bit of trouble. But, Jeff, from a diplomatic standpoint, all he had to say was, listen, we apologize. There's really no place in golf for this behavior. But he really didn't say anything like that either.
Right. He didn't. I mean, we're better than that, right, in golf. But was he involved in choosing the venue? Because going to New York, I don't know what else you could expect.
Well, you got what I think you were looking for. And, the conduct was not in any way to me shocking, but it was just a little bit too personal. Look, I have no problem with people being passionate about the American team. No problem at all. But a lot of that stuff was over the line, period.
Well, that's part of the deal, too, with gambling, I think.
These, well, there you
booking
go.
Booking stuff, you know, the things that has happened with Hideki a couple months ago, guys yelling in his backswing. You just don't know what the motivation is anymore. And that's opened up, you know, a big can of worms on how conduct is going to be on the golf course from spectators that are drinking, probably way too much, and they don't know, they probably don't even play golf, but some of those characters are still on the golf course and, you know, wanting to be on Instagram or YouTube, Creighton.
Well, there's been a few PGA Tour players that have come out and said that they get emails of the threatening variety because they missed a putt on any given hole that cost a guy $100 or whatever the case may be. And I think that is a very slippery slope when it comes to sports betting in our country.
Right.
And I think we're starting to see the trickle down with story after story after story as to exactly where we are with it right now, because there's so many states now that have legalized it. And if you're going to try and contain it and keep it above board, good luck.
Well,
that ship has sailed.
The spectators are so close to the action.
There you go.
Everybody is quiet, right? Everywhere else on the planet, nobody's talking on the golf course while the guy's taking his swing, but this guy does. And
sure.
If I ever see the mashed potatoes guy, he's getting it right in the mouth.
I don't even know what the origin of that was. Mashed potatoes, of all things to yell. All right, we've got one segment to go as we continue to spin on golf right here on 760 WJR. All right, my friends, not a whole lot of time left in this edition of Spin on Golf here on 760 WJR. Once again, if you're just joining us, congratulations to the former Georgia Dog, Russell Henley. He wins the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial there in Fort Worth, Texas. He wins in the first playoff hole, number 18, by the way, at Colonial, over another 37-year-old, Eric Cole. Interesting, you know, we were discussing Eric Cole, sponsored by Major League Baseball, as is Cam Young. And to my knowledge, they're the only two. But that's an interesting little logo to have on your golf shirt, I'll tell you that much.
Try to get more people to watch baseball, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's the other slowest game on the planet.
Speaking of which, Jeff Goebel, pace of play. The Friday of the PGA Championship, grueling pace of play. We're talking the PGA Tour here, for crying out loud. Log jammed, taking 5 hours and 40 minutes to complete rounds. So the conversation has gone on. Justin Thomas, we know, was not a big fan of it at the time. You would think that the Tour, with 5 hours and 40 minutes in mind, they've got to come out with concrete rules. And I know you can put teams on the clock and or players on the clock and what have you, but you can't have it.
Part of the problem was this. The course setup, too, was
right.
Also brutal that day. They said, you know, multiple pins were up on top of crowns. So there's a lot more five-footers coming back instead of two-footers. But the guys got to mark it, line it up, you know, go through a more full process than just scraping it in the hole. So some of it is course setup on top of it. But then, you know, just like when, who was it, Lee, that goes up and does the foot placement.
Oh, yeah. Know, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah. So he did it on the one footer to win, right? He did his aim point process. So that was pretty funny.
But if you're at 5 hours, 40 minutes, that's similar to some scrambles that I play in.
As eightsomes.
Right. And right. The thing about that is, if you're in a scramble and it takes 5 hours, 40 minutes to 6 hours, the chances of people coming back to that outing next year, it goes down drastically. You just don't have 6 hours to play a round of golf.
Yeah.
And especially at the PGA Tour level.
Playing in threesomes.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, Jeff, we've had our conversations about pace of play because, you know, even you name a course anywhere in the country, it's an issue.
Yep.
It has been. It continues to be. But if you're a golf course putting players off every 7 to 8 minutes, you're going to get what you deserve.
Right.
And I don't know how many courses are backing off that scheduling, but.
Yeah, when I was at Treetops for 9 years, and we did 10 minutes. We weren't trying to, you know, cram in six extra tee times during the day. What we did was
did that work out comfortably?
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah,
I mean, it was still long. Like the certain golf courses, the routing, because it's longer spaces between greens than the next tee, you know, that takes up time. When you have long grass, this is one of the problems with a lot of the golf courses now. They're trying to, you know, be correct in their uses of gas and resources. So they're letting a lot of the native grasses grow, which in when you play in Scotland, those things are never irrigated.
Right.
When I was up at Treetops, the tradition course, we had it was never intended that way in the design initially, but then they started to let the grass grow. But then it was irrigated. So this stuff got so thick. It was unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
And the guys would be hunting for balls, and it's just brutal. Who wants to hunt for golf balls?
No, that's right? And again, that adds and adds and adds. Because guess what? People will look for that golf ball for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Well.
At $5 a piece, right? I mean, that's what they're at now, so. You can understand it, but there's, you know, they try to go from 5 minutes to 3 minutes in the rules to try to take that down. But those nobody knows what 3 minutes is like without a stopwatch.
No, but all the reasons you've just discussed for elongating rounds is certainly real. I'll tell you what is not slowing down the pace of play is fixing ball marks on greens.
Oh, my God.
I just don't understand. Just played around at Warren Valley. I played 1,000 rounds there, me and my good friend, on Friday. And he said that the starters are going out. It's gotten to a point because you can see that relatively recent that they haven't been repaired. And, folks, when you're playing the game, it takes a half a second.
Yeah. They don't know how to do it, so they don't do it. It doesn't even matter. You go to private clubs, it's the same thing. I mean,
that's a valid point.
Disgusting.
That's a valid point.
Doesn't matter if it's public or private or resort. People feel like they paid their price, and then they'd go to mark their ball. Even the new players, I called them the COVID golfers, they don't mark their ball. You know, I mean, they just leave it, whack around. You know, they're not playing golf. And, again, it comes from most of the people that played golf for a long time grew up caddying, or their grandfather or grandparents took them out on the golf course.
And taught them etiquette.
And grandpa, if you didn't fix your ball mark with grandpa, you got a kick in the butt.
Right. No, that's
And
that's
as a caddy,
true.
You understood the importance of taking care of the golf course, which, the new players do not get it.
See, and I'm wondering, Jeff, if you're just taking up the game, hey, we're so happy for you. Because it is a wonderful, wonderful game. But with golf comes etiquette. And what you need to do is play the game with some individuals who have played it for a while that can teach you exactly how to conduct yourself. Because it's just not about going out and hitting the ball and getting into the hole. There's some decorum that's got to be followed. And we're talking about fixing your ball mark. It's a simple, simple procedure. I've gotten to the point where I fix mine and three others. That's all I can do.
Well, there's probably three in your line now.
Right. Well,
you gotta fix the ones in your line.
Well, certainly.
And you should fix yours. And if you got, when I take kids out and do a playing lesson, I fix 10 minimum on every green. It's absolutely insane.
And the sad thing is, Jeff, that there's 10 to be fixed. Therein lies the problem.
There is. I was gonna have all the kids put a T in the ball marks on one of the greens when I was at Fox, the par three that's down the hill. There is 1,000 ball marks. Because you know how long it takes for a ball mark to repair itself? 30 days.
Does it really?
30 days.
There you go, a little education. That's crazy.
3 seconds to fix one, if that. You just save 30 days of green recovery. I mean, it's insane.
Well, you know what? Again, it doesn't take anything. So, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, do you like to make putts? Fix them friggin' ball marks.
And you talk about pace of play. Overheard in our round on Friday was a player saying, I think I'm hitting 7 and they were still 120 from the green. Now you can't have it.
If you're not on in par, pick it up, place it on the green.
Right.
If you're making sevens, I mean, you're making seven from 120 yards away, you're probably not winning the U.S. Open.
Well,
right. Move along.
And I don't know, you know, how many courses these days, because look, they want to make money. I get it. I understand that. So I don't think I've ever seen, well, I did once, seen a starter do their job, go up and give a gift certificate to an extremely slow foursome. This was just a couple of years ago. Because if a golf course gets the reputation of slow play, what is the effect on that, Jeff?
It's not good for business.
You do not want that.
Nope. And that, again, goes to course setup. So I made some recommendations. I've been teaching over here at Northvale Hills. And I said, you know, it'd be
great
nice
course
for you to cut some of these cattails down so you can see, one, for safety, but also for, like, on the 18th hole. You want some dramatics, right? You can't
right
see the ball rolling on the green. It could be coming off the slope and have a chance to go in the hole, and you can't see it. I'm like, no, man, we got to get rid of that stuff, right? We need rough in certain areas to help contain the golf ball.
Didn't Northvale Hills fill in a few bunkers to improve pace of play?
Yeah.
I think they did. Yeah. All right. Jeff?
Hey, good
thanks
to see
you. Thanks for stopping in, huh?
Give Marcero a kick in the butt for me.
As always, I sure will. Yeah. Appreciate you jumping in when necessary. Don't know who will be here next week. I know I will be. Dave Rieger will be here. Hey, Kelsey Phillips, Angela Locano, taking care of business diligently at the Fisher Building. Thank you both for doing what you do. And, yeah, we will be repeating this year process next Sunday night. Please tell your friends and family.
And from fix your ball marks.
Yes, fix your ball marks. And we also want
to tell your friends to fix their ball marks.
And them too. And thank our sponsor, Rocket. Own the dream. Thanks for listening to Spin on Golf on 760 WJR.